A nurse tells you the bandage removal won't hurt. Then it's excruciating. Your friend raves about a restaurant they've never tried. You round up your work hours on a timesheet. These aren't the crimes that make headlines, yet they reveal something profound about human nature. We're all capable of dishonesty, but not in the way we think. Traditional economics assumes we're rational calculators, weighing potential gains against risks of getting caught. If that were true, we'd either be saints or full-blown criminals. Reality is messier. Most of us occupy a strange middle ground, cheating just enough to benefit while still seeing ourselves as honest people. This isn't hypocrisy, it's the fudge factor, and understanding it reveals why dishonesty is less about bad apples and more about the barrel we all share. Here's a revealing experiment. Solve simple math problems for cash, then shred your answer sheet before reporting your score. No one's watching. How honest would you be? Most people claim they solved about 2 more problems than they actually did, regardless of whether each correct answer paid 25 cents or $10. Even when participants could pay themselves directly from a pile of cash with zero chance of detection, the cheating stayed consistent. This demolishes the rational crime model. If we were purely self-interested, we'd cheat massively when rewards are high and detection is impossible. Instead, something internal constrains us, a tug of war between wanting financial gain and needing to maintain our self-image as decent people. We resolve this tension through cognitive flexibility, telling ourselves stories that let us cheat just a little without feeling like cheaters. You're not stealing office supplies, you're just taking what the company owes you for all that unpaid overtime. See how easy that was? The scary part isn't that we cheat, it's that we're so good at not noticing we're doing it. Place dollar bills and Coke cans in a shared dorm fridge. The sodas vanish within hours. The money remains untouched for days. The further we get from actual currency, the easier cheating becomes. When participants received plastic tokens instead of cash, then walked 12 feet to exchange them, cheating doubled. That tiny psychological distance silenced our moral alarms. Now consider credit cards, cryptocurrency, and complex financial derivatives. We're building an economy where money feels increasingly abstract, and our internal ethical compass spins wildly in response. This explains why white-collar crime feels different from street crime. The consultant inflating billable hours isn't grabbing cash from a register. They're adjusting numbers in a system, several steps removed from anyone's wallet. The solution may be absurdly simple. Moral reminders. Before taking a test where cheating was possible, one group tried recalling the Ten Commandments, while another listed books they'd read. The Ten Commandments group, despite no one remembering all 10, didn't cheat at all. Even atheists who swore on a Bible showed the same honesty. The mechanism isn't religious, it's psychological. Princeton students with rigorous honor code training cheated just as much when not prompted to sign beforehand. Insurance companies discovered customers who signed odometer forms at the top reported 2,400 more miles annually than those signing at the bottom. Timing matters crucially. Imagine your physician pushing an aggressive procedure, later discovering they needed one more patient for a research paper. This reveals how conflicts of interest corrupt judgment invisibly. Pharmaceutical companies master influence through strategic relationships. Drug representatives track doctors' prescribing habits, personalizing approaches with gifts, pens, meals that create subtle obligations. Studies show these gifts affect prescribing patterns, yet doctors insist they remain objective. Brain scans reveal conflicts operate neurally. When participants viewed artwork from galleries that sponsored their payment, their pleasure centers activated more intensely. They genuinely preferred the sponsored art, and denied sponsorship influenced them. The bias was invisible to them, yet visible in their brains. Expert witnesses face similar conflicts. One researcher, after serving as an expert witness, discovered how quickly he adopted his client's perspective through subtle reinforcement, lawyers praising favorable research while questioning unfavorable findings. Within weeks, he'd genuinely aligned with their view. The insidious nature of conflicts isn't conscious dishonesty. It's that they change what we sincerely believe while leaving us convinced of our continued objectivity. Students' grandmothers die at 10 times the normal rate before midterms and 19 times before finals, with failing students showing the highest risk. The real culprit isn't worried grandmothers, but exhausted students compromising their morality to buy more time. This is ego depletion. Willpower functions like a muscle that tires with use. Researchers had participants write essays avoiding either common or rare letters. When later given opportunities to cheat on a math test, the depleted group cheated significantly more. Their moral muscles were simply too tired to resist. Women wearing what they believed were counterfeit sunglasses cheated at 74%, compared to just 30% for those wearing authentic pairs, even though all sunglasses were genuine. The mere belief loosened their moral constraints. These participants also judged others as more dishonest and expected shadier behavior. Every fake Rolex or knockoff handbag tells us a story about who we are, someone who pretends, cuts corners, and values appearance over authenticity. Creativity drives progress, but also enables rule bending. Research shows creative individuals cheat more across tasks, while intelligence shows no correlation with dishonesty. Creative people excel at constructing justifications that preserve their moral self-image. Pathological liars have 22 to 26% more white matter in their brains, neural connections enabling greater rationalization. Creativity becomes dangerous when people feel wronged. In coffee shop experiments, rudely interrupted customers kept extra money 86% of the time versus 55% for those treated politely. Two teenagers with stolen money creatively modified train passes, rationalizing that foreign rules seemed different, they deserved compensation, nobody was harmed, and flimsy tickets made modifications trivial. After witnessing blatant cheating, participants doubled their own dishonesty. But when the cheater wore a rival university sweatshirt, cheating decreased. Dishonesty spreads through social identification with our in-group. When someone we identify with cheats, we recalibrate our moral compass downward. When an outsider cheats, we distance ourselves by becoming more ethical. When participants knew someone else would benefit from their dishonesty, they cheated significantly more, claiming three additional matrices beyond those cheating only for themselves. This altruistic motivation proved powerful enough to override supervision. Silent observation eliminated cheating, but when participants chatted and became friendly before monitoring each other, cheating returned. This has troubling professional implications. Analysis of millions of dental procedures over 12 years found dentists increasingly recommended expensive procedures the longer they knew patients. As we bond with clients, our desire to help them financially can override professional judgment, especially when helping them also helps us. The dentist who's known your family for years might genuinely believe that crown is necessary, but their judgment has been quietly corrupted by years of caring about your approval and their own financial pressures. This explains how institutional corruption spreads through social contagion. The broken windows theory offers guidance. Fix problems when they're small. Each small act of dishonesty we witness from peers slightly adjusts our internal standards, creating a gradual drift toward greater corruption. We all cheat more than we think while remaining blind to it. The fudge factor lets us benefit from small dishonesties while preserving our self-image. Distance from cash, depletion, creativity, social groups, and altruism all amplify this tendency. Yet there's hope. We don't cheat maximally, just enough to maintain our self-image. This reveals a genuine desire for honesty. Religious traditions built in moral resets. Secular society needs similar mechanisms, moral reminders at temptation points, opportunities to acknowledge mistakes, structures reducing psychological distance from consequences, and awareness of depleted willpower. Most encouraging, our capacity for honesty is universal, Experiments across 7 countries showed remarkably consistent cheating levels, transcending culture. The challenge? Recognize your fudge factor. Notice when you're justifying small dishonesties. Build moral reminders into tempting moments. Make ethical decisions when fresh, not depleted. Remember your small dishonesties signal what's acceptable to your social group. When you fail, find ways to reset. Honesty isn't a fixed trait. It's a practice requiring constant attention and the right structures.